Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss three big games from Super Bowls 17, 28, and 34, as well as many more Hall of Fame birthdays and legendary stories, all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. Welcome to the Pigpen. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, your portal to positive football history. And we have another day of bringing you some great, exciting gridiron history pertinent to the day, the anniversaries of some great events and some Hall of Fame birthdays that we want to share with you today. Now let's get to your headlines. January 30th, 1892 in Athens, Georgia. The University of Georgia played its first football game in Athens against Mercer University. According to an interesting post on the UGA.edu website, the Bulldogs started off their first gridiron campaign with chemistry professor Dr. Charles Holmes Hurdy organized not only Georgia's first football team, but the first in the Deep South of America. In this first game, the Bulldogs pummeled Mercer 50-0. Their schedule for that season consisted of only one other game that took place on February 20th against Auburn. We'll talk more about that on our February 20th post. An interesting story that comes from the article that in this first game on the athletics field, now known as Hurdy Field, there are reports that indicate that the official scorer for the game missed at least one touchdown when he walked away to the city's alcohol dispensary on Broad Street across from the campus to purchase a bottle of whiskey during the game. Must have been a real thriller. The 50-point differential, the players from Mercer may have wished they had joined him for that bottle of whiskey, and maybe they did when he came back to the field. That might explain a lot. January 30th, 1960, the Oakland Raiders entered the American Football League per the Raiders.com website. The Oakland group was awarded the former Minneapolis St. Paul franchise, which basically was abandoned when the NFL granted permission for the Minnesota Vikings franchise to form before the AFL could set up on their group. January 30th, 1968. Ron Yeary from USC is the first overall pick by the Minnesota Vikings in the 1968 NFL Draft. Yeary was an awesome pick, as he made it into the Hall of Fame. According to the ProFootballReference.com website, the other future Pro Football Hall of Famers from this class so far include Claude Humphrey, Larry Zonka, Curly Culp, Ken Stabler, Charlie Sanders, Elvin Bethea, and Art Shell. The Raiders had a banner day building the core of their offense in the 70s with a pick of Shell and Stabler. January 30th, 1973. The team's front offices assembled in New York for the 1973 NFL Draft. John Matuszak from the University of Tampa was the first overall pick by the Houston Oilers. The Pro Football Reference data tells us that Hall of Famers that have bust in Canton so far from this class are John Hanna, Ray Guy, and Joe DeLamelier. January 30th, 1983, at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. Super Bowl 17 was a rematch of Super Bowl 7, which was also played in the LA area at the Memorial Coliseum, and it pitted 8-1 Washington Redskins against the Miami Dolphins, who spotted a record of 7-2 in a strike-shortened NFL season. Yes, there was a strike that season. They only played 9 games. The American Football Database fills us in with the game details on their article. The Dolphins held a 17-10 lead at the half, with a Fulton Walker 98-yard touchdown return of a kick and Jimmy Cephalo's 76-yard touchdown reception. The turning point in the game, though, came at 10-10 remaining in the fourth quarter. Washington was facing a fourth down and 1 yard to go situation with the Dolphins' 43-yard line, and they were still trailing 17-13. That's when Washington's veteran running back John Riggins broke through the Dolphin defense and ran all the way to pay dirt to take the lead. DC wide receiver Charlie Brown then added an insurance touchdown with his 6-yard scoring catch. The Washington Redskins outlasted the Miami Dolphins 27-17. John Diesel Riggins, with his power running, earned the game's MVP award. January 30th, 1994, at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, the Buffalo Bills played in their fourth straight championship appearance in Super Bowl 28 when they faced the powerful Dallas Cowboys. Things looked promising for the Bills in the first half as they held a 13-6 lead in the locker room. The third quarter, though, things started to unravel according to the StatMuse.com website article on the game. Cowboys defender James Washington picked up a third quarter Bill fumble and rambled 48 yards for a score to tie the game. It was then more stifling defense and a heavy dose of running back Emmett Smith, who scored twice in the second half to lead the Dallas Cowboys over the Buffalo Bills 30-13. The game's MVP was Emmett Smith, who besides his two late TDs added 132 yards hard earned on the ground. January 30th, the year 2000, the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. Who can forget the suspense of the very last play of Super Bowl 34? The St. Louis Rams were up by 7, but Steve McNair had marched the Tennessee Titans most of the length of the field to the Rams' 10-yard line with 6 seconds remaining on the clock and no timeouts remaining. A Bleacher Report article reminds us of the rest. As DB Mike Jones was covering Titan tight end Freight Wycheck on the play near the goal line when an open Kevin Dyson caught a pass from McNair. Jones left his coverage when the ball was passed and tackled Dyson at his legs, leaving the receiver to stretch for the goal line. As the play happened, everybody watching was on the edge of their seats, and then Dyson's shoulder hit the ground. The ball was short of the line. The Rams win in the most dramatic of endings over the Tennessee Titans, 23-16. St. Louis quarterback Kurt Warner won the Most Valuable Player award after he threw for 414 yards and 2 scores in the game. At this time of this game, that was the 5th highest number of viewers in history of television, as over 130.7 million watched the game. January 30th, 2011, the NFL Pro Bowl game was once again played at the beautiful Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. The result of the game was that the NFC outscored the AFC 55-41. Washington Redskins defensive back D'Angelo Hall was given the MVP for the game. Now, as promised, here's Craig Woodard Sr. with what he's got going on February 6th.
Hi, this is Craig Woodard, the executive director and president of the Down Syndrome Association of Tampa Bay. And I got some great news to tell you. I want you to join us for the Superfest virtual event. It's going to be held on February 6th at 9 o'clock. You can catch it on my Facebook page, which is our organization. You can follow us at 21 Strong Forever. It's going to feature athletes that I've talked to that you remember all through Erie County, Brian Milne, Mark Tate. Who else did we have? Eric Hicks. We had Matthew Hatchett from Jefferson, Ohio. Cliff Crosby. Am I missing anyone? I think I got some pretty good. Javon Johnson. We got some good names for you to catch up on. But definitely join us for the Superfest and see their thoughts on inclusion in sports.
Now that sounds like a great time. I'm going to make sure on February 6th at 9 a.m. I'm going to join him at 21 Strong Forever, his Facebook page, to make sure I catch that. Now, we want to get to our birthday, one celebration of birthdays today for this January 30th, and it happened January 30th, 1925, Detroit, Michigan. The nifty halfback that played for both Purdue and Michigan in college, Chalmers Bump Elliott, was born. After committing to military service for 4 years as a U.S. Marine from 1943 through 1947, Bump, according to the NFF, enrolled at Michigan and had a big year in 1947 when he led the Big Ten Conference as he scored 8 touchdowns. The American Football Coaches Association placed Elliott on their All-America team for 1947 as Michigan went 10-0 and won the Rose Bowl. The National Football Foundation selected Bump Elliott for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989. Now, once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for these football history headlines today. And tomorrow, we have another great program, as we do all next week and beyond. Check us out on your favorite podcast provider or go to thesportshistorynetwork.com, where you'll see this podcast and many other great podcasts on sports histories. Or the easiest way, go to pigskindispatch.com, and you'll see us every single day with our blog posts and our podcast, and you can hook up with everything there. So till tomorrow, we'll see you later. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Just another ordinary day in the offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items, thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football. College basketball art. Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can too by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW number one today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for a 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20 at checkout. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.